Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Welcome to the show. If this is your first time listening to the show, I'm glad you're here. You may find this isn't your typical business interview podcast, and I want you to know that that's exactly how I want it. If you have been here before, welcome back. I appreciate you being here, and I hope to be better today than I was the last time. And remember, whether you're still thinking about starting your first side hustle or business, or you're a longtime business veteran, if at any point during your journey you decide that you want more, you want to get serious and take the next step, not just as a dreamer, but as an entrepreneur, I'm ready for you. Go to roadmaptofreedom.co to learn the 21 steps to starting a profitable online business. All right, let's get into the show. Today's guest is an entrepreneur and a pioneer in customer management software. He's best known as the co-founder of Goldmine. Him and a business partner started Goldmine in 1990. They grew it to $25 million in annual revenue, and in 1999, it was acquired for $83 million. He took a brief retirement at the age of 40 before jumping back into building products. He is currently the founder of Nimble, an award-winning social sales and marketing CRM for individuals and teams. Now, John Ferrara. Recently, I've been wondering, am I the only one who at least once a week, probably two or three times a week, becomes struck with an idea for a new product or business or podcast or something and immediately go and see if the .com is available? Seriously, am I the only one? I don't think so. I think you probably do that too. And next time you do it, you should go to hover.com/hack. Because when that URL is available for you, you can get it for 10% off. And because, as you almost always see, like me, the .com is not available. But at hover.com/hack, they have this unique sort of search engine that will give you the next best extensions available. They have over 400, and they put the best ones in front of you. So you can choose those if you wish. Plus, when you do buy a domain from them, if you have any troubles at all, their customer support team is absolutely stellar. Plus, they give you personalized email to match your domain and free Whois privacy. So remember, next time you're struck with that idea for a new project, go to hover.com/hack. Get started today and you'll get 10% off that next domain for your next project idea. There's no upsells. It's a clean, beautiful user interface, and best of all, a discount for you. Once again, go to hover.com/hack. We're back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have a very, very special guest. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. It's my pleasure. I think we're on this planet to grow by helping other people grow. And any opportunity that I have to get up on a soapbox and inspire and educate others is a great day.
Nice. That's what I like to hear. And I'm excited for it. So let's jump into it, shall we?
Yep.
John, can you tell me, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
John, I think it's marching to a different drummer. I think that if you marched in the same way, in the same place, in the same style that everybody else does, then you'll be doing what they do. And the reason I retired at 40 was that I started marching to a different drummer as a child. And that including studying alternative religions to expand my view of the world and my place in it. It continued with me buying my first microcomputer when I was 18 years old when nobody had one, and it cost me $3,600 in 1978 dollars money, and becoming a geek when all my friends were going to fraternity parties. And that passion helped me to find my purpose, and I built a plan, and I was successful. I think being able to see things differently and to see things that other people don't, and then synthesize that into net new information is been my primary key of success. And an example of that is I was working in 1988 for a technology startup in Boston. I was working in their Dallas office, and they put me in sales, and they told me to go sell. And they gave me a piece of paper with phone numbers of IT people in large corporations, and they said, go get them. There was no SFA, there was no CRM, there was no Outlook, there was no Salesforce. There was no tool that integrated email, contact, and calendar, let alone sales and marketing automation. And as I went through my process of cold calling people and writing notes on that piece of paper, putting the appointments in my day timer and doing my forecast once a month in a spreadsheet, I said to myself, there's got to be a better way. I looked for a tool, I couldn't find it. And only because of my background of owning a computer as a young man, working in a computer store and learning every single microcomputer software in the world, and then working at a network operating system company, seeing the future, which is PCs tied together in networks and distributed across district offices, that I then synthesized Goldmine, which was the first program that integrated email, contact, and calendar and sales and marketing automation. It pioneered contact management and CRM before Outlook and Salesforce existed. And I couldn't have done that had I not been able to see the differences and synthesize a net new solution.
Wow. Wow. I love it. This in there, you said you built a plan. This seemed like at a young age when people were going off to parties and you were sort of working at the computer, but you built a plan, you stuck to it, and then you reached the success that you wanted. Like, what was that plan and where did you sort of set it up for somebody in that position now?
Yeah. So I think we're all inspired and moved by the things around us. And there's a combination of things that happened in the 60s that formed who I am today. One of which is Kennedy saying, we're going to go to the moon, and creating the space program that basically had me glued to the TV from Mercury to Gemini to Apollo, and even the space shuttle, where I saw people setting goals, reaching high and achieving them. And I wanted to be an astronaut, like every young person in my era. And I thought that computers would be a path to get there. And so my passion was technology because I was inspired by it. And so when I bought the computer, I said I was going to get a computer science degree. And that wasn't sort of common back then. And so I believe in something called the three Ps. You got to figure out what your passion is, build a plan to achieve it, and make it your purpose on a daily basis. The biggest cause of failure in entrepreneurship is giving up. There were times when I would cry myself to sleep, John. There were times when I wanted to give up. There were times when I didn't see I always saw that we could, but it was just hard. If you're listening to this today and you're an entrepreneur, this is my advice to you, is figure out what your passion is. What are you gifted at? What are you excited about doing? Build a plan to achieve it. Make your purpose on a daily basis. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your bathroom mirror. And even if you don't get there, you're going to get someplace. And along that journey, opportunity will knock. And this also is a key thing, is if you put your prayers to the universe will answer you. But you need to be present and aware enough that when you hear the door knocking, that you need to open the door and you need to go through it. Most people aren't present enough to hear the universe knocking to their desires, and then they don't have the heart and the bravery to open the door. Open that door. Go through it. You will grow and you will see things, and things will happen for you, but you need to pursue it and basically keep putting one foot in front of the other.
So the passion, John, like, is it correct, or like your passion was like computers and technology in that sense and solving a problem with it, not so much making it easy for people to make sales?
No, I never had a passion for sales. In fact, John, my dad was the number one car salesman in the country in the 50s and the 60s. And I grew up on my dad's car lot. And as a young person, person in your teenage years, you separate and you begin to, I think it's natural in our DNA that we're sort of forced to start to have some strife with our parents, because you need to have that in order to step out of the house and grow and fly. And so during my teenage years, I thought sales was a four-letter word, and I never wanted to be in sales. I wanted to be a technologist, like my uncle, who invented radar and microwave at MIT in the 40s and was an aerospace entrepreneur and president of IEEE. And so he was my mentor. That's what I was going towards. I was going towards immersing myself in technology to learn as much as I could to build a career in that space. And that was about it. But what happened was, because of that passion and pursuit of technology and learning as much as I could, I gathered enough information from working at the computer store, from working at my first job at Hughes Space and Communications and Missile Systems, where I learned how companies adopted microcomputer technology, and then working at the startup where I learned how companies sell the technology. And because of that journey, when I was in the moment, universe knocking, saying, John, you're struggling with selling, and me not seeing a solution, I then was able to synthesize a net new solution because of my background.
So then you built Goldmine.
I did.
And Goldmine, you were at it for about 10 or 11 years?
10 years, 1989 to 1999. We started that company on $5,000, never took a dime of venture or bank loans, grew it to about $100 million in revenue and about 5 million customers, and I sold it when I was 40.
Sold it to?
So it was 1999, and the stock market was just at all-time highs, and I didn't believe in the valuations, so I wanted cash. And so most corporations wanted to buy companies with stock. So I found somebody who basically had a lot of cash and wanted to buy Goldmine. And it was the Microsoft distributor out of Zimbabwe, because you couldn't distribute software to South Africa back in the apartheid days. So Gates and Ballmer used to sell all the Microsoft software to Zimbabwe, knowing that it was getting trucked over the border. And he had boatloads of cash and he wanted to move to America. And so I sold him Goldmine, and it was a goldmine for him as well, because he sold it 4 years later for twice what he paid me.
Wow. So, I mean, at the time, people were probably like, you could get more money if you took stock, not just cash. But looking back on it, that was a good time to just take a bunch of cash.
It was. And you know, John, I think that most people seek to retire in their 60s. And I think that by the time you're 60, that life has passed by, especially the most precious things that happen for people who are fortunate, having a wife and a family, children. And I think that being a present father and husband is a precious gift. And I was able to have that. And I was fortunate.
And so that's when you retired at 40.
Yes. And spent 10 years raising three kids.
10 years. And, impressive. Nice.
Yes. And then I started to use social media in 2006, 7, and 8. And I saw how it was going to change the way we work, play, buy, and sell. Now, back in those days, people were just figuring out what social was. And I think for most people, Facebook was a place to hook up with your high school sweetheart. Twitter is a place to tell other propeller heads when you go into the bathroom. And LinkedIn was a place to get a job. And nobody was really thinking about how social was a way to build your brand, nurture your network, and become a trusted advisor to your prospects, customers, and their influencers. And I saw that happening. And I looked around for a tool that would enable me to integrate my social contacts and conversations together. Now, you can go to Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn and have conversations with people, but you want to link those conversations together to a central contact record with your email and your calendar. And so I looked at contact management tools that were on the market, and basically Outlook was this on-prem dumb thing, connected email and calendar, and Gmail G Suite was a contact tool in the cloud, but email, contact, and calendar are three separate programs, which means if you go to the contact record, there's no context, history of interactions on email and calendar, let alone social, and no insights. Who is John Naster and what is he about? So basically, you have to Google people. And so I saw a need for a social relationship manager, not just in contact management, because then I went and looked at CRM systems and saw not only were they not social, but that they really weren't about relationships. CRM is supposed to stand for customer relationship management, It actually stands for customer reporting management, because CRMs basically are about command and control. They're not about engagement. You engage in email and now more and more social, and then you have to go to the CRM to log it. And the reason they call it Salesforce, you have to force salespeople to use it. Nobody in their right mind would use a CRM if they weren't beat on to do it, because a CRM isn't designed to work for you. You work for it, and you have to go to it to use it. And so I started to hear notes in my head, like when Mick Jagger writes Angie, and I got a band together and we wrote Nimble.
So you thought, why not do this again? It did it once. It worked out quite well.
Yeah.
Let's do it again with new technology.
You know, John, two things drive me: my own personal pain and my desire to serve. Nice. And a year after I sold Goldmine in 2001, I got a head tumor and almost died. And in the process of healing, I went on a spiritual growth journey, and I came to the conclusion that we're on this planet to grow our souls by helping other people grow theirs, period. That's the recipe of life. And so if you synthesize that into the work that you do, that we're here to serve others. And I think in building Goldmine and building Nimble, I'm serving others to help them achieve their passion, plan, and purpose in life, because your network is your net worth. Your brand and your network will help you achieve your dreams in life. And so I build tools that help people build their brand, build their network, and connect with others, ideally to build mutually beneficial, pay it forward relationships.
Are you, or at least initially within, say, this project, were you like really hands-on within the product side of it, or do you sort of stay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I am a product guy.
Yeah.
To the point of annoying my product.
That was going to be my next question, but I'm glad you answered it. So with Goldmine, you bootstrapped it all the way. What did you do with Nimble? Did you do the same thing?
You know, I put a few million dollars of my own money to start the company, but as it grew, I took on some friends and family money. So Mark Cuban, who was a Goldmine reseller back in the Dallas days and a board member of Goldman Sachs, and a guy named Jason Calacanis, a guy named Dharma Shah, co-founder of HubSpot, and other people, including Google VC.
Wow. Okay. Fair enough. I mean, if you have that network around you, then yeah, it makes sense to go that way. Because now you also have people to sort of bounce ideas off, I would suppose.
That, and to tell the world about you. I mean, when Mark Cuban says every Shark Tank company uses Nimble, it's a good thing.
That's true. That's very, very true. All right. So, John, let's move to projects if we can. So projects, you can take that as a project within the product or a marketing project or a side project that you might want to start. But I know that you are probably a person that has many ideas. You have these sort of sparks of things that you could help people do or accomplish, even if that's your team. But I would like to know, like, what is the process that somebody like you goes through, and whether that's a gut process or a written process you have, but how do you sort of sift through the ideas and decide that a project is worth yours and possibly your team's time, energy, and resources?
Well, John, I'd like to say that I have a formal, a methodical written process that I go through for decision making, but like the words that I share and the decisions I make and the projects I take are all a synthesis of signals that I derive from various sources to come to a conclusion. And my gut has been right for so many years and so many times. I trust it. So there are people that have formal processes. I don't. I trust my inner self to see and hear the things I need to come to the decisions that I do. And I have to say they just come to me.
Fair enough. And I would think that, yeah, most people would trust it too. If when it works out as well and you can judge it by that and then your past track record. So within, say, the Nimble team, founder, CEO, do you sort of want to instill that in your team to follow their gut with things, or do you
No. I think there needs to be a more formal process. Okay. I think having one wizard whizzing is enough for any company. So I surround myself with smart people who are capable and methodical, and I let them do their job. So I have people that are very skilled and schooled, and they have processes for decision making and measuring, and then they make recommendations on direction. Then we have conversations.
And if an idea does come to you, it feels right in your gut, you can just bring it to the team, to that part of the team, and be like, okay, we need to run with this. And they can sort of...
I rarely tell them what to do.
Really?
I share ideas on what I think would make sense. And they prioritize them based on their priorities that they already have. I think if I'm telling people what to do all the time, then it's not going to run right.
Fair enough. So the team's 35 right now. It looks like, from what I can see, that it's growing quite rapidly. What does a day at the office look like for you?
So my day at the office starts early in the morning. In fact, it happens throughout the night. I think that any entrepreneur that is passionate about what they're doing will wake up in the middle of the night or think about things in their sleep in the night. And so I'm sort of constantly on at the office. That said, I get up around 6:30. I have my cup of coffee. I'm on my computer catching up and communicating, doing some type of storytelling and conversation, because I think that it's more powerful when other people talk about you than when you talk about you. And the way that we built the Goldmine brand and the Nimble brand is identifying people who have high reach and relevance in and around the areas of promise of our product. And we build connections and do storytelling. And those people tell the stories, and that's how we build the brand. And I think that's how you and I got connected. And so I do storytelling and connecting in the morning. And I believe that anybody listening to this today should be worried about their brand and their network. It's so critical to your success. And what I do in the mornings is I share some content that has inspired and educated me. During my coffee drinking, I read and I share that content. And then I engage with people throughout the day who bite on that content. And it's a powerful way to set yourself up as a trusted advisor to your constituency. So then I go into the office, and typically I have a series of meetings, whether they're internal team meetings that happen a few times a week, or they're meetings with outside people. And then I go and sit with people at the office, because I think that it's important to connect with the team. Often at Goldmine and also at Nimble, I get on the phone and I do support calls, listen to the customer, and then engage with the various teams at the company to better understand what they're doing and what their needs are and how I can serve them. Because your job as an entrepreneur is to hire great people, give them the tools that they need to succeed, and then get out of the way.
I love it. And to round back to this beginning, how you spend your coffee with the storytelling and sharing, and I mean, advising people that this is such an important thing for your business, for your brand, what is it like? You're not creating your own content and sharing it. You're sharing other people's content?
Yes. Yeah. So here is the formula that you could rinse and repeat. So at Nimble, we're a tool that helps entrepreneurs and startups and small businesses improve social sales and marketing. And so what I do is identify content that inspires me in and around the areas of promise of my product, content about entrepreneurship, startups, social sales and marketing. And then I share that content, hashtagging it appropriately, pound marketing, pound sales, pound social, pound startups, and attributing the person's name. And what that does is like dripping fishing lures outside of into the social river, so that people then bite on it, to the purpose of setting yourself up as a trusted advisor so you can be seen, which helps build your brand, but also helps build the company brand, because inevitably people will go to your company links on your personal socials and see what you do. And then what you need to do is you need to connect, you need to engage, because just dripping content isn't enough. You need to engage with the intent to help and serve those others, and especially with the influencer that you might have shared the content from, with not the intent of selling them something, but a way to add value to that person. And if you do that at scale, you could build an army of evangelists. And I actually have a formula for that. I call it the 5 E's of social business. So it's educate, enchant, engage, embrace, and empower your customers. And you do all that by building great personas on the places where your constituency have conversations, and then basically inspiring and educating and engaging with the intent to help others grow.
Educate, enchant, embrace.
It's educate, enchant, engage, embrace, and empower.
Engage, embrace, empower. And my guess is that you use Nimble to do this?
I do. So I'll give you a story example. So I share content daily, and it's about 10 to 30% about me or my product. So you don't want to basically be talking about yourself and your product all the time. Nobody really cares. People don't buy great products. They buy better versions of themselves. So what you want to do is sell them a better version of themselves. So I share content to inspire and educate them. I'd say that's maybe 50%. And then the other percent, whatever it is, 10 or 20, is my personality, because I think we all connect on the 5 F's of life: family, friend, food, fun, and fellowship. People don't connect with you, and I aren't going to stay connected because we both are into entrepreneurship. You and I are going to stay connected because we both think family or food or music or whatever those softer side. And so I share content regularly, and somebody started talking about me on Twitter. I wouldn't known that, because if you do what I tell you to do, you're going to get overwhelmed with engagement anyways. You won't see many conversations. So somebody tweeted on Twitter recently, and it was a thought leader at Salesforce, Tiffany Bover, formerly a Gartner analyst on CRM. Salesforce has intelligently hired all the Gartner analysts on CRM, and now they are storytellers for Salesforce. So she was essentially saying that Salesforce isn't about command and control. It's about empowering customer-facing business team members. And somebody said, bullshit, it is about command and control. And when are sales managers going to loosen the grip? And isn't this what John Furrier has been teaching and preaching and building with Nimble? Now, I wouldn't have seen that, but Nimble listens to the signals of people talking about you and your brand, enriches those contacts with people and company data to then evaluate whether they fit the fingerprint of people that matter to you, and then they surface those signals to you in our Today page. So Nimble told me that this guy was talking about me, and I was able to go into Twitter, and because Nimble lives wherever you work, it sits inside of your browser, I was able to be in Twitter, read the stream, and respond in kind intelligently, because Nimble told me that he was the head of CRM and data at Disney. And I was able to thank him intelligently. And not only that, Nimble gave me his email and phone number. And I decided to reach out in a one-to-one way, because he gave me permission to reach out personally based on the way he's talking about me. And I believe you need to take digital relationships offline into face-to-face, because the more human we get, the more human we need to be. And that conversation then shifted to email, where Nimble still lives in my email inbox as well. And then it shifted to LinkedIn, because he invited me for a LinkedIn connection. And then it shifted into a LinkedIn messaging, where Nimble still lives throughout everywhere I go. And in that conversation, I learned that he not only lives in my town, but our daughters go to the same school. So I decided to invite him for breakfast. So then it shifted to the calendar, and then it shifted to face-to-face, where Nimble lives in my mobile. And I had a conversation with him where I asked a few questions. I just shut up and I listened for 30 minutes. And John, if you let somebody talk for 30 minutes, they'll fall in love with you, because people love to be heard. And we became fast friends. Disney became a customer, and now he's evangelist for Nimble online daily.
Wow. I think I'm sold. I need to try Nimble. You did it. Wow.
Voila.
It's impressive. Do you think part of, or even a huge part of the success product-wise of Nimble is the fact that you are its user?
I think that the best products are built from your own need, because you're passionate about it and you understand the problem. And so if your question is Nimble success because I built it for my own use? The answer is probably yes, because I built Goldmine for my own use originally, because I was suffering with leads on paper, appointments in my daytimer, and forecasts in a spreadsheet. And it just turns out that because I learned to march to a different drummer as a child, that I can see and synthesize pain and solutions and create them, and that my pain is shared by millions of others. And so I think the answer to your question is yes.
And throughout that, you mentioned Twitter several times and then onto LinkedIn. Are those the two platforms of your choice right now?
So I use Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Foursquare, Google Plus, Crunchbase, and Snapchat. But I primarily live in Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. Those are the primary places where I have conversations. But Nimble lives in any of those places. So Nimble is smart everywhere you work. I like to say Nimble is the first CRM that works for you by building itself automagically from the data that's in and around your personal and business life, which is Gmail, G Suite, Office 365, iCloud, email, contact, and calendar, and then Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn contacts and conversations, and then over 130 SaaS business apps, because every business has an app, whether it's QuickBooks or MailChimp, or even if they have a CRM like HubSpot or whatever, Nimble will automatically synchronize contacts from all your disparate applications, create a team contact platform that could either be your social sales and marketing system or work within your social sales and marketing systems by automatically integrating all your team's contacts, not just sales contacts, but the whole team, because it's not just salespeople that touch your constituency, and then live back wherever you're working. So Nimble smart inside Twitter, inside Facebook. In fact, I'm on your Facebook page, and if I turn Nimble on, Nimble knows what page I'm on and will build a record if it doesn't exist, or bring up the record if it does exist, and give me all of your background so that I can walk in your digital footprint and get to know you. Because, John, if you want to get to know me, you could spend 5 minutes in my LinkedIn and you'll know my business persona, which is only one leg of my chair. But if you walk 5 seconds in my Instagram, you'll know about my passions in life and figure out how you can connect with me in a deeper way to earn my intimacy and trust so that we can get beyond the business crap and get down to learning about each other to find ways we could add real value.
That's why when we started this conversation, you asked me what band I play in.
Exactly. You know, John, it's your job to know. It's your job to know who somebody is and what their business is about, and to find ways to break the ice and build intimacy. In the old days, I taught salespeople when they go in somebody's office to look at their walls, look at the books they read, the degree of the school they went to, the knickknacks they collect. Today, you do it electronically, but it's just too hard. So people don't do it. Nimble makes that easy.
Man, I love it. I love it. I'm absolutely sold on it. John, this has been a fascinating conversation that I've thoroughly enjoyed. But I really do want to wrap up on one final question for you, if I could.
Sure.
It's this idea, John, I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap. I've interviewed almost 500 people now. And this thing I've noticed about us as entrepreneurs, as dreamers, is that we are oftentimes projecting our personal successes and our business success, but always into the future. So in 6 months when you hit that revenue metric, or in 9 months when you stand on that stage, whatever it happens to be, that's when we feel like we'll see ourselves as successful. Yet, John, you and I both know, moments before we hit that, we're going to set bigger, loftier goals. Absolutely necessary to look forward. But rather than doing that right now, I would love it if you could stop for a few minutes, turn and look behind you. We've heard somewhat about your journey through all of this. You've had massive successes and now you're on to another one. But I'm sure we have not heard nearly all of the ups, downs, highs, lows, wins, and losses. But if you could, for the next couple of minutes, John, just tell me, how do you feel about this whole journey up until this moment?
John, I'd have to say if my life stopped today, that I would be proud of the work that I've done. And it's not work to make millions of dollars, which I have. It's work to be a better human being by making other people better human beings. They're not going to write on my grave, built gold mine, made millions of dollars. They're going to say, beloved father, husband, friend. And I have been that to not only the people close to me, but to millions of others by me helping them reach their dreams. The best gift you can get in the world is when another human being stops you and says, you've changed my life. And this happens to me regularly. And for me, that is my fuel that fires me to do what I do on a daily basis, which isn't easy, John. It's not. It is hard to be an entrepreneur, even for me today. And so looking back, I am grateful for the gifts that the universe has given me and the gifts that I've given it. But I think the thing I'm most proud of is my family and my children and my wife that I learn from every day. I think that if you're present and aware with the people who truly love you, that they'll reflect your shit back at you. And if you're present and willing enough to look at your shit and work on it, you can grow as a human being. Which brings me back to what I said earlier, is that we're on this planet to grow our souls. And we do that by growing, helping others grow theirs. And I've done my best to be present with any human around me and give them a gift, even if it's simply a smile. And so I'd say I'm pretty friggin' happy with what I've done so far, but I don't think I'm done.
You're definitely not done. You're definitely not done. Beautifully said, John, beautifully said. Nimble.com is the company?
It is, Nimble.com. And for those listening, Nimble isn't simply a CRM. CRM isn't for you. It's for the man, for your boss. I think anybody listening to this should have their own personal golden Rolodex. If you don't know what that is, it's a contact tool. And that you need your own personal CRM, and that Nimble is great for that. But if you're a company, it also works as a company social sales and marketing system. But if you use Nimble to unify your disparate contacts, conversations, and then use that, you could use that at work inside Salesforce and to begin to nurture and build your connections daily. Because, John, imagine how many people listen to this, meet new people every day, but don't put them someplace and they just sort of disappear. Imagine if you started to nurture your brand and your network like it was your gold mine to help you become more nimble. So if you're listening to this today, go sign up for Nimble, and I'm going to gift you 40% off the first 3 months. Use the code JON40.
JON40.
And one last thing. Reach out to me. Let me know who you are, how I can help and serve you. I'm easy to find. You can Google me, J-O-N Ferrara, or Nimble me once you sign up for Nimble.
Awesome. I will track down also some social media if that's where you want to find John. You can find it in Google or go to Hack the Entrepreneur and it will be there for you as well. John, thank you so much for the special offer for the listeners, first of all. And just thank you so much for spending the time, for sharing so openly, and just keep doing what you're doing because it is truly awesome to watch.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate it. And I had a great time chatting with you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as I enjoyed being part of it. I'm wondering if you took as many notes as I did. I've got an insane, this whole sheet beside me is completely filled with notes of things that John said throughout the conversation, right? You probably picked out your snippets. You probably picked out your hacks that you heard. Now it's time to pick out the one that I chose. Are you ready? All right, let's do it. Let's find the hack.
This is my advice to you, is figure out what your passion is. What are you gifted at? What are you excited about doing? Build a plan to achieve it. Make your purpose on a daily basis. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your bathroom mirror. And even if you don't get there, you're going to get someplace. And along that journey, opportunity will knock.
And that's the hack. John, John, John. I love this. I love this. So we've all heard this. We've all heard this a lot, but there's a twist, right? So John says, like, find out what your passion is. What are you gifted at? What is it that you get excited about? We've all heard that. Then, I love this part, build a plan to achieve it and work towards your goal every single day. But now here's the thing. Work towards it. But even if you don't get there, which I know is a fear lots of people have, even if it's like a subconscious fear, is what if I do all this and I don't get there? I love what John says, because he says, even if you don't get there, along that journey, opportunity will knock and you will get somewhere. That's a huge thread that runs through so many of these conversations I've had, is that we find success typically not where we started out at. Meaning almost every business out there started creating something that then pivoted and turned and changed and morphed into what it became successful and known as. It's the same thing with human beings. It's the way we work, but you need to start. And the best way to start is to start with what you know, what you like, what excites you. Build that plan, work towards it. Because it doesn't really matter, but you're going to end up somewhere that you can't even imagine at this point. Because as John says, opportunity will knock. John, thank you so very, very much. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hover.com/hack. You can get 10% off your very first purchase. Best place possible to buy your domains. Make sure you check them out because it helps you. It helps me. And I guess it helps Hover too. But all right. Hacktheentrepreneur.com. It is the website. We're over there writing lots of cool blog posts to help you. Help you with your business, help you with your side hustles, help you to get doing what it is you want to do. Make sure to head over there, check it out. And while you're over there, make sure to get onto that email list because it's kind of where all the fun happens. All right. It's been fun. I appreciate it so much that you stopped by. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.